This Merrickville podcast is brought to you by Ryko Filters. Tell your mechanic you only want Ryko Filters at your next service. Ryko Filters, the professional's choice.
Where am I?
Welcome to Merrickville.
Oh, it's all happening today, Sydney. So much good news coming your way. We're going to catch up with Todd Sampson. You probably know him from all the shows where he likes to hurt himself. He's got a new show called Life on the Line where he hurts himself again. He'll be joining us a little bit later on in the show. But Cam Knight is in the studios with him this afternoon. And Cam, it's very exciting news because Arnold Schwarzenegger has been seen riding a bike in our city.
Not again. He's fearless, that man, that robot man.
Oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger out on a push bike without a helmet.
Who's going to pull him up? You know what I mean? No cop is going to pull him up.
No, you're right, Arnold. You keep riding.
Off you go, mate. Off you go.
Off you go. What are you doing? Just going for a ride on a push bike. There's that. We've also found out, apparently, the propeller that fell off the Rex plane has been found. $240 is the current bounty I will pay for that helicopter, for that propeller. But up next, we're going to talk about the police minister. Turns out he's in trouble with the police. Cam, it's a funny day when the coppers get in trouble with the coppers.
Yeah.
Police Minister Troy Grant, well done on having a double-barreled first name, full name to Troy. He's been caught breaking the law after he used his mobile phone behind the wheel to take a picture of a sheep in the boot of a car.
In the boot? No, he's in the front, wasn't he?
It's in the rear seat.
Yeah.
It's in the back seat there. So there's a sheep in there, and he's whacked out his phone and gone, oh, this is pretty funny. I'll be like the young people and get this on Instagram.
Yeah.
And he's taken a photo, and someone's gone, aren't you the police minister? And aren't you behind the wheel of a vehicle? And it's gone, ugh.
Oh. And he's getting fined, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a decorated former police officer, and he's confessed to the driving offence and asked cops to issue him an infringement notice yesterday.
Okay, so he knows he's done wrong. That's good. Yeah. Would have been weirder if the sheep was in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
You know.
Dressed in human clothes.
Just out for a Sunday drive. Just taking it all in. Or if the sheep was actually taking a photo of him as well. Yeah. There's a policeman.
And the sheep's have always got weird faces, so it looked like it's doing kissy mouth. Like,
it was just that sheep from that Rams ad.
And it is actually going to the farm. And when I say going to the farm, it's going to be put down.
Yeah.
It's not dressed in human clothes, which is always a bonus out there in the country. He was on the Newell Highway, so he was out in the country when he took this photograph. And, you know, this guy, Mr. Grant, the police minister, is always trying to ram home safety messages.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. That's a good one.
When he got picked up by the cops, I would have said to him, why don't yous let me off?
You've been a bad boy. That's terrible. I'm out of here. Did you hear about those?
I wouldn't do it again.
Did you hear about those two policemen? There was a policeman and a policewoman in a car recently. Now, an emergency was going on. An actual robbery was taking place whilst it appears they were filming themselves. It appears he was getting her to practice the breath testing on his device.
Oh.
And,
on his personal.
He's like, hey, mate, yeah, if you could just blow into here. Yeah. And the alarm went out. You hear it on the radio, and they just kept going at it, didn't
really?
Yeah.
Just kept with the breathalyzer.
Oof, pretty rough, isn't it?
But that happened. That was in Argentina. That wouldn't happen in Merrickville.
No, I was Argentina. Yeah, that's right. Argentina. Okay, thank
apparently
you, mate.
It was point blow five, though. So it's not, okay. That's an interesting start to the hour.
Yes.
But it does look, I think, whenever you see something weird in a car, I think you are compelled to take a photograph of it. I totally understand the police minister. He shouldn't have been doing that. But also, too, at the same time, you've got to go, if you see something weird, like a sheep in the back seat of the car, you've got a responsibility to take a photo of it. And that also, too, that springs to this.
People are strange. Spotted a guy doing his edges on his lawn with an angle grinder.
I saw a bloke chasing a peacock down the road. Yes. I actually saw somebody today hand-feeding an ibis.
What weird thing have you seen in Sydney?
Yeah, absolutely. 133353, what weird thing have you seen in Sydney today? Now, we just happen to have Frankie, who works in the office with us. Hi, Frankie. Welcome to the radio.
Hi, guys.
Frankie, you saw something. We were talking about this earlier in the office today and we were having a laugh, and then you showed us an amazing photo.
Yeah, so this morning I was on the train heading from Newtown into the city and came across a guy doing yoga on the train. Not just any yoga, with a mat, a towel and his shoes off and his bag up on the disabled seat.
Wow. Was he in active wear as well?
He actually had his shirt off. So, yeah.
Oh, he's gone all out.
He's gone all out.
Wow.
All out, yeah, shorts, shirt off, mat, towel. Had it okay. all.
He must have a pretty strong core, you know, because that thing's moving. Was he in a weird position?
He was rocking about and moving up into downward dog.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you sure he wasn't just pissed?
I hope so.
Like, if they're vomiting, I don't think that's yoga anymore.
People can check out the photo. It's an incredible photo. It's on our Instagram and Twitter page, Merrickville FM. He's, like, he's inverted. He's doing a backwards headstand with his legs using that pole in the middle that the passengers hold on to balance on.
With his dirty feet now up on a pole. That's great. So now we have to travel with Glenn 20 everywhere we go.
So Newtown, though, isn't it? To just go, you know what? I've got a massive train journey from Newtown to the city. I better fit in my yoga class in that 4.5 minutes.
It's been a really steamy couple of days. Yeah. That would have been Bikram in there as well. He's taking it really serious.
Look, I just hope his Tangara didn't fall out whilst he was on the train there. Give us a call, 133353. What have you seen in Sydney today? It doesn't have to be today. It just has to be funny. We're just discussing Frankie, who works here. She saw a guy doing yoga on a train from Newtown. Mm. Such a Newtown. It's almost so Newtown, it's almost Bondi.
It must be that area. I was near there and I saw a guy crossing through a crossing, like not actually waiting for the lights or anything, just went diagonally through and he was on grass skis with ski poles. Like, how much does that guy just not care about anything? He's so confident.
Grass skis. So the wheeled skis.
Yeah, like those really long, it's like rollerblade wheels. But they're grass skis, and he's grass skiing. That's how he's getting around. That's his daily commute, it appeared.
If you see that guy, you've got to arrest him and search his house, because I swear to God, he's got somebody in a cupboard.
I didn't know whether to high-five him or steal his lunch money. It was weird.
Taking your calls now. What have you seen in Sydney? We've got Adam and Greystanes. G'day, mate.
How you going, buddy? Yeah, I was driving up Greystanes Road a couple of months ago, doing about 60 km, and coming towards me, I looked at this four-wheel drive, and there was something strange about it. It was going backwards, doing about 60-70 km an hour. And the cars that were going the right way behind him, they didn't even seem to give a shit. They just kept driving right on his ass. Not on his ass, because he was backwards.
He was reversing.
Reversing down the road at 70 km in peak hour.
I didn't even know you could get that fast in reverse.
No, well, that'd be flat check.
Can you imagine how loud that would have been?
Here's the thing, would you, at that speed, do you use the mirror or do you go over the shoulder at that speed?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, once you get to 70 km, you're obviously pretty relaxed with reversing.
100%.
Or he's 100%. Passed out.
Yeah. I don't know. Or he's passed out. Or a touch of the glass barbecues. Let's get to Stephen Belmore. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys.
What have you seen in Sydney, mate?
Bloke trimming a hedge with a lawnmower.
Brilliant.
Just can never, ever go wrong. That
holding it up? It had wheels?
Yeah, so it was your normal push lawnmower with like the throttle control on the handle. And, mate, in Lakemba, picked it up, moved from side to side, trimming
wow.
a hedge.
Wow. Wow.
Absolute oxygen thief, mate.
I got a funny feeling that the law of Darwin will get him. Eventually, he's just going to go, I'm just going to trim this hedge and my head off. I think you're just going to lose fingers doing that eventually, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's see who else we've got. Jimmy in Dulwich Hill. Hello, mate.
Hey, mate. I know it's hard to believe because we're talking about Newtown, but driving along Wilson Street today, there was a girl walking down the street completely nude.
Oh. Well, it is a hot day. It is a pretty hot day.
It's humid.
Yeah, it's pretty humid.
So remember the song Big Muff Superfuzz?
No.
Okay, but I can kind of gather what you mean by saying that, though, Jimmy.
I can too.
Okay. And Wilson, when you say Wilson Street, is that in Newtown or is it close to Newtown? I mean,
Miz is going there right now see if she's still there. He's going to go check. No, what was the intersection, mate?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, give us a crossroad, Jimmy.
I thought I was having a flashback, so I had to turn around again to make sure I wasn't, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's Newtown.
Yeah, you've got to be a pretty forgetful person to leave the house with nothing on.
Imagine,
you know?
Do you ever do that?
Like, you do the keys, card, cash, jocks, and you go, underwear.
Oh, did I leave the stove on? Oh, no, that's right. I'm not wearing any clothes. Cam, the big story today has broken. The propeller from the Rex flight that sheared off the edge of the engine has been found in Revesby. I spoke about it yesterday.
Where's the propeller?
Exactly. We're still looking for it, and I've put up a bounty, $240. We've done a bit of a whip round.
Yeah.
And the Triple M propeller, as we'd like to call it, $240 is the bounty for that.
If you say something on air like that, we have to fork up the money.
We don't have $240.
This show doesn't have $2.40.
You could have cut that part out of it. You could have edited that out. That wasn't necessary. Cam, the news, of course, yesterday we were told that the propeller had sheared off and that they were looking for it in Camden. Now, it turns out it was actually in Revesby.
Okay, so
not exactly anywhere near it. In fact, closer to Bankstown Airport.
And it didn't go through anybody's roof. It landed in a park. Okay. Where did it land?
Here's the thing. They said that the authorities have been a bit sketchy, and we're not entirely sure. They've said in parklands in Revesby. They're making out that like it's some national park.
Which it's
like
not.
No, it's so totally
people
not.
People live there.
No, it's on Marco Avenue, I reckon. Right. So you've got to think, if it's come off in Revesby, it's pretty lucky that no one has been injured. These things, you know how much they weigh? Over 100 kilos.
Huge. A lot of damage there.
And it's come straight out of the sky. It was already spinning at a fair rate.
Imagine if that happened. Like, that would have been the best episode of Gogglebox if it landed through there into their lounge room. Just crash. Cameras rolling.
Well, and the people who watch Gogglebox too, they're not quick to get out of their seats.
I spilled my beer.
You can give them a 5-minute warning and it still wouldn't be enough to save their
lives. The police helicopter spotted it, Mez, and it said it's come down in bushland just off the River Road in Revesby. Just quickly, let me run you through some of the things that are very close to that area.
Okay, I know what you're going to say, but before you do, can I just jump the gun here?
Oh, sure.
It's very lucky that it didn't hit Nicole's cut and curls on Winders Lane. Is that what you're going to say?
Mid-cut too, just sheared off a fringe.
The irony,
straight in.
If it had gone into Nicole's cuts and curls on Winders Lane, it would have been a disaster, or even just up the road a little bit if it hit True Elegance. Anyway, just pointing out.
I had one more. Mez.
Okay, yeah.
Dependable roofing.
Just off
the bushland there.
That would have been a real test of how dependable that roofing is. That's you know what? That's a good ad campaign. We let 120 kilogram propeller fall through our roof. It survived. Dependable roofing.
Dependable roof. We're doing the S word. There's so many places in Revesby where it could have landed, other than, of course, ironically.
You know, if it landed in my backyard, I'd keep it.
100%.
I wouldn't hand it in. What rights do you have on keeping something like that?
Take it back from me.
I mean, like, The Gods Must Be Crazy, that show. You remember that movie?
They
turned that thing into a guy. I would just sort of kept it as a shrine in my backyard. My kids could climb over it.
You'd never.
Mine. It's mine now. It's my propeller.
100%. I'm just looking at all the places it could have hit. It's a miracle that it didn't hit door.
It really is.
Door repairs there near the... just off Simmons Street there.
Are we just going to ignore the fact Cam said he'd let his children play on an aeroplane propeller?
Yeah,
but it's not moving now. It's wedged into the ground. It's perfect. That's a great gym equipment,
Exactly. It's free. Gym at home. I like how you said it like I was going to twig at any stage that was a weird thing to say.
Would have been awesome if it landed in Bing Lee. They're like, we've got this giant fan for sale.
Cam, you'd know Todd Sampson from his television shows, Retrain My Brain, Body Hack, which was one of my favourites ones because he tried to fight a mixed martial artist. Jesus, belted at him. It's always fun watching friends being bashed in control circumstances.
It really is.
Well, it's got a brand new show. It starts on the ABC tonight. It's called Life on the Line, where he literally puts his life on the line. And he dropped in yesterday, and I had a chat to him about his brand new show. Tonight at 8 p.m. on the ABC, we see the return of Todd Sampson to our television screen with Life on the Line, and he joins me in the studio now. Good to have you back, Todd.
Hey, Mark. Good to see you.
It's good to see that you're alive. You've just shot a 6-part series where you're lucky to be with us.
Yeah. Let me tell you, we made a mistake with the title because getting life insurance when the title of your show is Life on the Line wasn't easy.
That was literally my first question. Insurance. How did you get it? For a show that where you are literally each episode jeopardizing your own life for science / being a legend, how do you get insurance for that?
Well, I can't say where because that part is quite confidential, but I could say that the same place that insures Bear Grylls said, no, thank you.
What?
Yeah, because remember, Bear stuff, but it's slightly different. Like, my shows are factual documentaries. And so when they saw, because I had to send Body Hack, which I spoke to you about a couple of times, and I had to send Life on the Line to them, and they just went, I don't think so.
So the idea for Life on the Line is that you're using, you know, you're talking about the methodology of science and then putting your body to extreme tests. And they said no. So you, but you did manage to get insurance.
100%.
But you can't talk about the insurance.
Can't talk about the details,
I know.
But
it's the Lebanese mafia.
No, it's not.
100%.
I can confirm that. Yeah. So this show.
Bank of Bankstown.
This show, I have to say, the biggest concern of my wife was the life insurance, not the wrecking ball. But so the show is about exploring natural laws, laws that affect all of us, you know, keep planes in the air, whether it's gravity or friction or heat. And I just wanted to do it in an entertaining way so people want to watch it.
Mate, I see that, right? I've seen tonight's episode and it's great, but... Did you come up with the science first and then apply the testing, or did you come
science
up with
first.
The stunt? Yeah, or did you come up with the stunt
no
and
way.
Then just go, all right, we'll find a backdoor to science here. Let's call this one.
No.
Let's call this one heat transference.
No. We chose six topics to cover.
Okay.
And I have to say, some of them I seriously regret it, like the AK-47, which was resistance because the bullet. So an AK-47's bullet traveling on a good angle in air will go roughly 2 kilometers. It can go 2 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
An AK-47 based on Cameron McAvoy, Olympic swimmer / physicist, his calculation after half an hour at a whiteboard was came up to me quite sheepishly and said, based on my prediction, you could stand 1.8 meters from the gun. And I went, okay, put another meter on that and we'll give it a go.
Underwater.
And so the idea... I mean, you know a lot about this stuff, Merrick, but the resistance works. It's 1,000 times greater underwater. That's why people train, athletes train underwater. It's very good for their, you get a lot of resistance without a lot of jolting.
Yep.
Well, with a bullet, when it's traveling, it's getting 1,000 times more particles smashing against it, trying to stop it.
Yep.
So it will eventually run out of steam.
Which is why I never try to make love in a spa. It just...
And the association with a bullet. There probably is an association there.
Bang!
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking quick.
Superman. That's what so you do this experiment with the AK-47. Tonight's episode is with fire.
Yes.
Where you build a contraption, which is essentially like a roller coaster, where you are on rails and you go straight through a furnace, which was set at, 700? It was supposed to be 700 degrees Celsius.
And unfortunately, it got slightly out of control and went to 900. All the experiments are built from scratch. So there's a lot of tension between the physicists in every episode are helping me check the science, and there's engineers and they're builders. And there's a lot of tension between builders and physicists because the builder's going, that's not going to work. And the physicist is going, theoretically, that's going to work. You know, I never tested any of this stuff on humans, so they had a dummy. It's very classic ABC, right? Oh, so they had a dummy built.
That is the worst
description
for a producer I've ever heard.
Right. It gets worse.
I mean, I call them dummies, but...
It gets worse. So we had a dummy built, and the dummy was worth... cost us $5,000. So everyone was so sensitive to the dummy.
I would have given you Liam for $500.
They have to be exactly my dimensions and weight.
So they're going to be like lifelike human size.
Lifelike me. And so on set, we were more concerned about the dummy getting crushed than we were with me getting crushed.
What happens when you spent $5,000 on a dummy? You've done all your experimentation. What happens to the dummy? Where's that now? Is that in your garage?
No, he's sitting in the builder's Ron's studio. He's pretty funny because we did his head's crushed in and his clothes are burnt off and... But he looks like I would have looked if the science didn't work.
That's Todd Sampson there from his new show, Life on the Line. It's on ABC One tonight at 8 p.m. Terrific show. Really, I've seen the first episode. It's just terrifying what he puts himself through. He obviously doesn't like himself as much as I like
either
me.
That or he just loves pain. You know, he's just into it. And
I ask him about his psychology later on in about an hour's time, just under an hour's time. I've got part two of the conversation where I talk to him about the psychology of himself and why he does these things. And I also ask him about the one thing that he has said no to. And I was actually quite surprised. It was women's underwear. No, I'm only kidding, Todd. You've done that. Arnold Schwarzenegger's in town.
Legend.
How much better is your city when Arnie's here?
You know it's safe.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Like now I feel like my kids can ride their bikes around the neighborhood.
That's
Last
right.
week, no chance.
Uh-huh. That's it. I'm surprised he didn't catch that propeller.
Oh, he could have. He's an amazing man.
He is.
You know what we should do? We should tell him that we're sick of humidity. He'll make humidity go away.
Scare it off.
He'll scare it away. Arnold Schwarzenegger's in town. He's been here for the Arnold Classic Fitness Expo. And since he's been in Sydney, he's been on a luxury yacht with his son and just been smoking the biggest cigar in the world.
Still looking super fit, though.
Yeah.
Just tops off, doesn't care.
Full Arnie. He saw some fans that yelled out, "Hey, Arnie," and he goes, "I'll be back."
And they just lost their minds.
Lost their
minds. Like believers.
How good is he? Just giving the fans what they want. And he's been on this morning a leisurely bike ride around the harbour foreshore. 69 years of age. Just going, "Oh, I'm just going to go for a bike ride." And I was going, "You go and do that, Arnie." And then, this is great news, he popped by the South Sydney PCYC in Redfern to meet with members and staff there, and he presented a cheque for $5,000 to the club to help with new equipment and the upkeep of the facility, and he mingled with some of the locals and the police there, and we just happened to have Senior Sergeant Samantha Greenside from Youth Command who was there. Hello, Samantha. How are you?
Hey, Merrick. Hi, Cam. How are you?
Very good indeed.
Right,
first of all, did you lose your tiny mind a little bit when you met Arnie?
Yeah, I must admit, he's looking pretty fine for a 69-70-year-old. He looks good.
Is it against procedure or even against the law for to get Arnold Schwarzenegger to sign part of your uniform, like, you know, your shirt or something like that?
Oh, I don't know about that, but we were very professional, so we got a couple of photos with him, which was really good.
No doubt you were, because if it had been me, I definitely would have pulled out my Glock and said, "Here, you can sign." That's a pistol for anybody who doesn't know. I said Glock.
Yeah, did you just admit to a police officer that you own a Glock?
No, I said if I had one.
Oh, okay.
I don't have one. So tell us what it was like when Arnie was down there with the youth.
Oh, look, it was pretty exciting, actually. So he attended on behalf of Paul Graham, who's a prominent bodybuilder, former bodybuilder in Australia, and they're actually best friends. So so Paul arranged for Arnie to come down, and he presented a cheque, as you said, and it was fantastic to have him there.
Was it an actual cheque, or was it a massive, like one of those massive novelty cheques? I can just imagine Arnie just pulls those out, you know, because he's so big, everything's big, you know?
Yeah, it was actually an actual check.
Great. And did he actually get on any of the equipment? Did you see him do any benches or anything?
No, but there were some weightlifters there. So and he was very impressed with the way that they were lifting.
Yeah, imagine how hard they would have been straining.
I know.
Just going, "I don't care if I snap a calf here. Arnie's here. I'm going to squat the shit out of this thing."
Just hyperextending everything.
One that's gone home with a double hernia and gone, "It was worth it for Arnie to do it." So is he a terrific guy in real life then, Samantha?
Yeah, look, he was very interested, very personal, really engaged in what we do. Like, I mean, we work with young people to empower them, and we reduce crime and activity. And he was very, very interested.
And Samantha, right. He's been riding around town on a bicycle.
Yep.
Without his helmet on, mate. Mm. Did you have a little chat with him about that, or what are your thoughts there?
No, I actually wasn't aware of that.
Oh, because you know that's actually against the law, Senior Sergeant Samantha Greenside.
He is the law. He's Detective John Kimball.
Would you, if you saw him on a bicycle and he was riding around with no helmet on, would you just assume that his entire body was made out of some sort of metal exoskeleton, so therefore he'd be safe?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I just get the feeling that you and none of the other police officers that were there today have gone, "You know what? Let's just issue him the pettiest fine we can."
I'll be taking that $5,000 check, thank you, Arnie. That's a fine.
We'll take the $35 out of that from the youth to pay for your bike fine. You guys do a great job with the youth there at Youth Command, and I think it's great that you spent some time there and got Arnold Schwarzenegger to mix with the kids as well. So, Senior Sergeant Samantha Greenside, thank you very much for your time, and keep up the great work.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Good on you. Take care. Oh, yeah, a big thanks to you. Liam was waving. I was going, "Why is he waving to Cam?" Oh, Cam's going too.
I'm out of here. Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
Good to see you. See you next time. Bye, Cam. For Ryko Filters, the professional's choice, joined this afternoon by Chris Taylor, who's in the chairs here in the studio. And we
just the
are,
one chair. I'm not taking up. Chair. Don't suggest I've got an enormous ass and need four chairs.
In the passenger seat is what you are. In the passenger seat for this, because it's... Look, normally we started doing this when the weather was bad and we thought it was a good way to pass time in cars. But now whenever we do, it actually brings the weather on like a rain dance. It's Highway Hypotheticals.
It's traffic.
You know what that sound means, Sydney.
Come on.
It's time to play Highway Hypotheticals.
Yeah, basically, we give you a hypothetical and you have to make a choice. And there is, like normally with these sorts of things, there's no right or wrong answer because they're both bad. Mm. There is a definitive answer. And I've got it.
You're the arbiter.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I decide what's right and wrong. So 1-3-3-5-3, if you want to play along, it is good fun. Liam, you always kick it off, and I enjoyed my first highway hypothetical.
Yeah, we've got some good ones today, but I'm going to kick off with one a little bit obscure, because I know you two will think through it logically. Would you rather be a tree that can feel pain or a snail that will never die?
Ooh, a tree that can feel pain.
I wouldn't want to be a tree that can feel pain, you idiot. What happens when a bloke comes on with an axe? You just go,
you're going to feel it.
I can't even run.
Yeah,
I can feel this. I can't even run.
Hey, it's Royal Easter Showtime. The wood chopping's on. We want you as a tree to be there at the Easter Show while everyone takes an axe to you. No thanks.
Yeah, but
feel pain versus have immortality
but
as
you're
a snail.
Yeah,
but immortality.
Yeah.
As a snail.
But you never get wood. The tree is wood.
Oh, you do never get.
I mean, you buy... Yeah. Definition, you get wood.
What sort of snail are you? Is it sort of like chilled out snail in someone's garden, or are you served on a plate with a French garlic sauce and eaten by Matt Preston?
No, but then you would just exist in Matt Preston's stomach
forever.
Because you can't die.
Because you never die.
Or then you'd probably go out the other end
of Matt
Preston.
You'd go out the other end and be served at a restaurant another night.
Snail. Snail, 100%.
Yeah.
Correct.
Immortal snail. Immortal snail.
Correct. Immortal snail. Because the only two is, you know, they say you never want to live forever because you'll go insane because you're thinking about things too much and you have regret and you've got a lifetime, you know, living it over and over and over. If you're a snail, your memory is exactly 11 seconds. So you just go, oh, I'm a snail. And then 11 seconds later you go, oh, I'm a snail.
How do you know that a snail's memory is 11 seconds?
So what's the next one? Got a lot of calls coming through. Got a lot of calls. 1-3-3-5-3. The phones have lit up, Sydney. Let's do this. Highway hypotheticals. We'll pitch one to you. You tell us what you think. Highway hypotheticals. We throw you a hypothetical. You tell us the answer, and then we tell you whether or not you're correct.
Mm.
It's really, I'm sure it's opinion based, but that's not the point.
No.
Apparently, lots of people stuck in traffic. The weather has already affected it. I'm just looking at the weather map now. There's a bit passing through Sydney City, but there's a big front coming through right now through Lithgow and through the Blue Mountains.
Ooh.
And turning into Bankstown and Richmond right now. So weather everywhere, and it's only going to get thicker.
So if you're selling bric-a-brac in one of those Blue Mountains little stores, bring it in now, otherwise it's going to get very wet.
If you're selling bric-a-brac in the Blue Mountains, you've given up on life. No, come on, stuff them. Got Nathan in Toongabby. Hello, Nathan.
How you going, guys?
Mate, how's the weather there? Is it raining in Toonie yet?
Oh, mate, coming through Concord at the moment. Ooh. It is nearly flood waters down Queens Road.
Right. Okay, all right, good to know.
Okay. We can take some... part of your time with a highway hypothetical here and take the load off.
Far away.
Nathan, here you go, mate. Imagine someone has created a machine that allows you to record and play back your dreams. The only catch to using the machine is that you can only watch your dreams back with your significant other present. Do you use the machine?
Oh, mate, I would toss the machine straight away.
Burn that machine.
Correct, Nathan. Well done. Yeah. Well done. Absolutely. Why would you? That's your private time.
Yeah.
That's your mind. That's your mind palace in there. That's where
it is a good conundrum, though, because there would be dreams you would so want to relive over and over, but it's just not worth it for those sort of dirty ones. You go, no, it's not worth the pain.
Let's get to Ryan in Stand Up Gardens. Hello, Ryan.
Yeah, the boys. There you go.
Really good, mate. Whereabouts are you?
I'm not on the highway.
Okay, great. Okay, don't mention which one. We'll just, you know what we'll do? We'll all pick a highway and we'll think of that one. Okay, Ryan, here's your conundrum.
All right, Ryan, here we go. You've won a magic lottery that allows you one of the following two prizes. You either get a year in Europe with $2,000 spending money every month, or you get 10 minutes on the moon.
Ooh.
Oh.
Gotta go Europe, mate. What the hell?
How much money do you get if you go to the moon?
Hey, you don't get any money.
You just get the experience.
You just get the experience. You get 10 minutes on the moon.
You go to the moon for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. I presume you're allowed to wear a suit, a space suit. Or you go to Europe for.
You're there for a year.
A year.
It's like a gap year.
With $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
$2,000
a
month.
It's a good year. Oh, you'd make that
stretch. You'd have a good year.
Yeah. You'd have a good time. No, I'd go to the moon. I'd go to the moon. Oh, what?
Well, no, you said Ryan was wrong. Ryan opted for Europe.
Yeah, Ryan's wrong. You go to the moon.
I'm with Ryan.
Because no, Ryan, how old are you, Ryan?
I'm 28.
28. How many people do you know? Probably a few have been to Europe. They've probably gone over there, probably risked catching an STI. They go, oh, I've been to Europe. And you know, like, oh, okay, whatever. You roll into the pub and you go, oh, sorry, I just got back from the moon.
There's only so many rocks you can kick, mate.
True.
I guess you're only there for 10 minutes, mate. Kick a hell of a lot of rocks.
Big advantage of the moon, so there's no Eurovision. So it's very safe from that point of view.
Very cool. All right. Let's get to Michelle in Picton. Hello, Michelle.
Hello.
Whereabouts are you in traffic?
M5, Liverpool.
Oh.
You got in a bit of weather there?
No, we've just passed it.
Oh, very good.
Okay, all right, Michelle, here's your highway hypothetical.
Michelle, before I give you this, I need to check quickly. Have you got any kids?
Yeah, they're sitting all in the back.
Okay.
Hi, kids.
Well, all right, here we go. You discover that your one-year-old child is not yours because of a mix-up at the hospital. Would you exchange the child to correct the mistake?
Hang on a second. These are supposed to be hypotheticals, Len. Okay? This is embarrassing. This is very embarrassing for Michelle. I'm sorry, Michelle. I'm sorry.
This just turned into the Jerry Springer show.
I've actually got a one-year-old in the car as well.
Is there something you want to tell him?
Okay, all right. Sorry, do the hypothetical again.
Okay, well, block your one-year-old's ears, but you discover that your one-year-old child...
Who you love,
is not yours because of a mix-up at the hospital. Would you want to exchange the child to correct the mistake?
This is a tough question.
That's really tough. Do you get to meet the original child first to see that they're kind of, no, you know?
Can you hear the child crying in the background?
I can hear the child trying to get out of the car.
Listen. Yeah. So listen.
What would you do, Merrick?
I would keep my child. I think the bond you have with a child is, you know, that's sometimes it goes.
The nurturing's greater than the biology.
Yeah, I think so. So no, I would keep the child. I wouldn't keep your child, Michelle. I mean, I give your child back to you because your child's fantastic.
If your child was a shit, it's a great second chance draw, isn't it?
The kids are in the car. What are you doing?
Michelle's child. Oh, sorry.
The kids are in the car. Mums and dads and kids in cars. What do you know about radio, Michelle? I'm so sorry.
You're all right.
Oh, no.
I'd keep my little Chazzy boy.
Chaz, I know that you can hear, and your mum is absolutely correct. Your mum loves you dearly, and guess what? Yeah. As a bonus, she's your real mum. So isn't that a terrific day? Now, what's that, Michelle? You want to take your kids to go and buy an ice cream? That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Ice cream? Off you go. You have a great day. Thanks, Michelle. Just now has to deliver.
Okay. We've got time for one more.
Yeah, okay, let's do it. Hello, Eddie in Parramatta.
How you going, fellas?
Very well. Is the weather in a parry yet?
I'm just on Canterbury Road at the moment, and it's raining a bit. Yeah. So.
Okay, well, more weather to come. All right, here's your highway hypothetical.
All right, Eddie, here we go. Eddie, you either have to switch genders immediately and continue your life as is, or restart your current life all over again.
Ooh.
And we're talking
full sex change, like the operation and all, or just sort of a transition?
No. It's through the. This is a magical hypothetical in that tomorrow morning Eddie would wake up as a woman.
In the same job, in the same relationship.
Yep.
I'd be the same sex relationship, wouldn't
it? Yep.
Are you in a relationship at the moment?
Yeah, I don't think she's listening though. So
right.
I think.
Does the idea of being in a lesbian relationship with your partner tomorrow appeal?
Quite a bit, actually. Yeah, I'm not
going to
lie.
I'm not going to lie. Eddie, just a quick one, Eddie. This is all hypothetical.
Hypothetical? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. What would you do?
I'd go back. I'd have to go back.
Obviously, you've made a lot of life mistakes, haven't you, Eddie?
Here and there.
And one of them was ringing up Triple M today.
Spot on. And Michelle's doing the same thing going, I could have had that hypothetical as well. Well, guess what, Eddie? You are correct. Chris, here's something that just popped up this afternoon.
Breaking news.
It is, actually. You might be interested in this. This has come through. It's staggering. A mystery employee at Channel 7 has been accused of stealing $8 million from the network. For real. I'm not I know you're looking at me like I'm joking.
Channel 7's had a lot of issues lately about employees stealing funds and so forth with the Tim Warner scandal. It's not related to that, is it?
No, no. This is a separate incident.
You know who I'd be
looking at. $8 million. Who would you be pointing the finger at? Because I don't want to, and I can't say this for legal reasons, but I was at Channel 7 this morning with Larry and Kylie on the morning show. Mm. And Larry did have 3 new gold teeth. And I saw him carrying an
just as loose change, or were they in his mouth? No, or just holding them? Right. Oh, in his mouth.
Yeah, he had his teeth done. And then when he goes on television, he just doesn't smile too hard so people can't see the gold. And I also noticed that he was wearing gold shoes. And also, too, Larry had a bag. It was an antler luggage.
Yeah.
And inside it, there was $8 million. But I'm not saying I'm not saying it was Larry.
Well, look, we can't point the fingers. I mean, my immediate first thought was the cash cow.
Cash cow.
How else has it got so much cash?
Yeah.
Where's it getting it from, Merrick?
Yeah, exactly. And you can't exactly pat it down on the way out, can you?
Can't.
Because no matter where you touch it, you're touching its boobs.
You're sexually harassing the cow.
Exactly.
So it's got the perfect crime.
You
it's
can't.
Stashing all the money in its udder.
Yeah.
And no one's going to dare pat her down.
Exactly. And then if it goes to the police and they go, oh, we need a statement from you.
Moo.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Cash cow is a criminal mastermind.
Can we defame an imaginary TV character? A made-up TV character?
I don't think when I mentioned Tim Warner, I was saying he was imaginary.
Can you pick the guy in the studio who's never going to work for Channel 7 again? I'll give you a clue. Chris Taylor. We're asking you on 13353, have you worked at the airport currently or in the past, and you've seen these split-shift workers forced to sleep at the airport? Images are coming out. I'm looking at a couple right now of people literally sleeping in what you would describe as third-world conditions, like, you know, little bunk beds on concrete blocks. And
yeah, near skips and stuff.
Yeah, it's not great because the belief is that they are between shifts. It's too far for them to travel home. It's too expensive for them to travel home. So they're being forced into this kind of makeshift accommodation. If it is an issue, then perhaps the airport, which makes more money than any other airport on the planet, could maybe provide some sort of provision.
You see a lot of sleeping at the airport. Like, even when you're in the passenger terminals, you notice, like, at the international terminal, if people have sort of done a weird flight and their connection
is
8 hours hence.
Yeah, but not,
everyone's
not wearing...
just passed out. Like, I've never been to a building where there are more people asleep in the most public positions.
I'm okay with that, but when you see a dude in high vis who's normally working with the planes, you start to worry.
It's when you're at the baggage carousel and there's someone asleep going round the carousel in between all the luggage that you start to think, we've got a problem here.
They're a drunk. We've got Tony in Belmore. Hello, Tony.
How are you, Meza?
How are you, mate?
First time caller, long time listener, buddy.
Oh, mate, thank you very much for being on the show. You've got experience with working at the airport. What can you tell us about the split shift workers?
Yeah, I used to work for Erica about 3 or 4 years ago, and I live in Belmore, so I used to have to catch trains to the airport back and forth. I didn't have a license at the time.
Yep.
And a ticket cost you about $30, $32. So sometimes it wouldn't be worth, you'd have to start a shift sometimes at 6 in the morning till 9 in the morning, do a 3-hour shift, and then come back at 6 at night to 9 at night. So you're doing split shifts, so sometimes you're doing 6-7 hours. You might get an extra hour here, hour there.
Yeah.
But your whole day is basically ruined for 7-8 hours, and you're not on that much coin anyway.
Yeah, that was the understanding, Tone.
Yeah.
That was the understanding. Mate, it's not actually a lot of money. So, you know, it's not a high-paid job, and the split shifts are quite short hours.
Yeah, and then by the time you finish your night shift, you got to be back at 6 in the morning. And then to get a train ticket, back then there was no Opal. So to get a train ticket, it's going to cost you about $50 for a damn bet. That's basically half your money what you've made in
the
shift.
That's the other thing. The transport to and from the airport's not that great, or it is expensive if you get the train. So in your experience, how many people were on an average day sleeping at work?
Some people live in Wollongong, Mez. You know what I mean? They're going to travel to and from the for 6-hour shifts, and some people, that's the only job they can get. And
that's
a problem.
That's where, you know, that really affects me. When you hear about people who are trying to do the right thing, have got an option to just not work, but will pick up the work and work hard work in split shifts under long conditions like that, rather than just take the easy way out. It's a bit of a worry. Have we got time to get to another call, Len?
No, we're out of time on this one, Mez. But
mate, thank you, Tony, for your call there, because that is horrific when you see people having to sleep on the job like that in those sorts of conditions. Maybe the airport should be looking at trying to accommodate their workers a little bit better. Todd Sampson launches his brand new show on the ABC tonight, Life on the Line, where he literally puts his life on the line. I caught up with him to have a chat to him about his show and the things that he would do and things he wouldn't do. Okay, so when you're last in, we were talking about Body Hack with the, you were going into the ring for a mixed martial arts fight.
You that were laughing at me. And yeah, by the way.
And you got the shit kicked out of you. And then you got choked out by a chick who didn't even look like she was trying.
She is soon to be a world champion, by the way. Just not to put a caveat, because a woman could knock you out. Because as you know very well, Merrick, in the world of jiu-jitsu, it's pretty gender equal once you know the techniques.
Yeah. But, I mean, you just went to sleep.
No, I was out.
How does it compare physically, you know, and the risk management as well?
This one, Life on the Line, was a lot more risky. Because the thing with Body Hack is the Body Hack was mostly about them and I was just jumping into their world. With this, it's an experiment-based show. So a one-ton wrecking ball that something mechanically goes wrong would instantly kill you.
It'd kill you.
Yeah, an AK-47 at 2.8 meters from your chest would kill you.
Yeah, don't get me to do the math for that one.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
No, Cameron, God love him. But there was a lot of risk. And people look at it and go, oh, well, the ABC wouldn't let you do that. Well, they would, because they too believe in the science. But there's always a chance for error. And you can see in the film that there was a lot of times with the engineering where we went, no. We have to go back. We have to go back and go through our steps again to get this safe.
Mate, is there it's not like a psychological condition, but, you know, when you're speaking to the, I'm fascinated by the type of personality. Is there a personality type that you have that, you know, because most people just don't do this stuff or have absolutely no inclination to do this.
Yeah. And a misconception is that I'm brave, which we now know from Redesign My Brain, because I've been climbing my whole life.
Yep.
And relatively good at climbing. And then when they tested me physiologically with all the tests when I stood above the wire, the guy came back and said, well, Todd, I don't know how to break this to you, but you're scared shitless.
Yeah.
And so what I found out is over time, I had learned my mind was controlling the fear that was always in my body. I'm afraid of heights. Didn't know that.
Yep.
So there is one characteristic. And again, in Redesign My Brain Series 2, it came out with this scientist in America, and she did this test on me. She said, I have an extreme form of optimism bias. Now, 80% of people on the planet have optimism bias.
That's why you came in here today. Because you... No, it's every... I always say this. Every guest that comes in here has got optimism bias.
Yes, they think it's going to go well.
And then they come in and they go, he's hijacked me.
Jeez. Again. But so I think people that are risk takers, some of them do have. I have a different cortisol response to things. And I know this because it's all been tested. And I just respond slightly differently. So fear doesn't make me cower away. It makes me go towards it out of interest. But I'm still scared. But I have a really big optimism bias. So the code word again on this series was Baltimore. When the situation was bad and it looks like it looked risky, I would say it, or the director would say Baltimore, and that would mean stop right now, step away from the set, let's have another look at this.
That's your out-of-bedroom safety word.
Baltimore. As quick as you say it, I'm out of there.
Your 80% bias is probably at about 90%. You're so optimistic about coming in here. It's terrifying.
I like coming in here.
I know you do. It's great. Because that's, you know why? Because you're so optimistic. That's what it is. You trap yourself.
That's why it's a bias, because you don't know.
Todd, lastly, is there anything that you had to back out of? Anything where you just said, okay, there's no way we can get insurance for this, or I'm just not going to do this because even though in the name of science, I've got a family.
Yep. There was one thing, and it wasn't so much in this series that it was in the last series, is I just drew the line at free jumping.
Okay, so look off a cliff.
Yep, and wingsuit. So do you remember when I did the blind rock climb in Utah?
Yeah.
And I was climbing with who I think is the best rock climber in the world, Steph Davis. She's amazing. Both her ex-husbands are dead, and dead from jumps.
Okay.
And I asked her, I said, what's it like jumping? And she said, basically, it's like being in a straitjacket. Once the wind hits the suit and locks you out, you're locked out. And she told me the story that she was up there not too long after I was with her, husband. They both jumped. She went left. He went wherever, at right. And she was alive and he was dead. And when she told me that story, that was it. I drew the line. I said, I'm not going to do these jumps. And I wanted to cover flight because I think flight's really interesting, human flight. But, you know, there's being quasi-brave and being stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to separate those two.
So you said no to wingsuits and Tiger Airways.
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Todd Sampson, Life on the Line, starts 8 p.m. ABC tonight. It's fascinating. Don't miss it. Like all your series, it is both educational and always great to see you hurt yourself. I mean, have scientific explanation.
Thank you.
Thank you for visiting Merrickville. Please sign the visitor's book at Merrickville FM on Facebook or Twitter and tell us about your stay.
We might have taken that metaphor too far.
That Merrickville podcast was brought to you by Ryko Filters. No more than three Ryko filters offer quality engine protection and reduce engine damage. Tell your mechanic you only want Ryko filters at your next service.